Welcome to the First in Football podcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head football coach Bob Sarais. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
So I got some interesting feedback from our podcast of last week. Somebody said that they liked the podcast because it humanized you, because talked a little bit about some of the stuff that you like. And I thought that was an interesting word, humanized. What do you think? At first, I thought he said euthanized, and I was like, it's a little too close to that, but he meant humanized.
Yeah, I'm definitely human. I'm nothing else.
So that got me to thinking, though, you know, so people know you as the football coach, and they see you on the sideline during games, and they know whether you win or you lose or those kinds of things, and they hear the things that you say here and on the Football Friday and in other public ways. But talk a little bit about some of the stuff you like to do away from football. I mean, I know you're a big family guy and a lot of friends, but...
You know, I don't have a ton of hobbies. I love sports. I grew up, my dad was football coach, AD, baseball coach. It's hard now to get to my kids' events, but once recruiting ends, I don't miss one of their events, whether it's a school event or a sport event with that. You know, as people I think are well aware, I'm a New York Yankees fan. I'm a huge Joe Girardi fan, so I am really excited for the Phillies, and I got to go catch my guy Girardi in action.
What would you have done if you got the Mets job?
I would have struggled. I'd have rooted for him, but not the Mets. The Sixers, you know, a lot of the things are sport things. If you come to my office, I love to read when I get a chance, mostly leadership books. I love leadership books, and you know, I'm always open for ideas, and you know, you're surrounded at Princeton by such great leaders that you get these recommendations, and they always are awesome books, you know, that way. And on a number of different topics, one of our faculty fellows just wrote a book, and it's literally about the digital age, social media, and how it's affecting, you know, the youth that way.
Speaking of the digital age and social media, Jared's birthday today.
Jared is amazing, and we give him a lot of grief. He's so much fun. He has so much energy. He's our creative content with football. If you follow us on Twitter or Facebook and any of those areas, the other you know, the videos, all the things that are being done,
some of the pictures,
he is nonstop. He goes from the morning to night. I can't thank him enough, because we're not a local school. This is a nationally recruited school. The parents of the kids from Hawaii or Massachusetts or Minnesota, wherever they're from, they get to really see what their kids are doing and feel a part of this. And the same thing for our alumni. They truly, and we didn't have this when I was in Cincinnati or other places, because it just wasn't there yet. And now that, you know, football programs, athletic programs, our department is doing such a great job that it's almost impossible. If you want to follow us, you can't get really in depth with that.
So we wish Jared happy birthday, and we thank him for everything he does. Princeton's next game at Cornell Friday night. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff. It was originally listed at 7, but it's 6. So if you want to watch the game, you can see it on ESPNU. You can listen to it on the Listen Live app or on PRB. Before we talk about Cornell, let's go back to the Harvard game this past weekend. Let's start with, you know, let's talk about a few things. One is Jeremiah Tyler, who was the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week, 13 tackles, 2 for loss. He had a big interception in the first half. Essentially, it was just everywhere. Now, I don't really know Jeremiah Tyler other than to have said hello a few times and exchange a few emails about some things. I don't know him in depth. I've watched him play, and my take on him is he has so much fun playing and so much joy when he's on the field. You can't help but notice it. And I also feel like that's the kind of thing that's a bit contagious to your team.
Yeah, I've said it a few times. He makes us tick. He comes out to practice. He comes out to meetings. He's just full of life. You know, he's one of those guys, and you see it around Princeton Athletics. And you know who the energy, the leader, the person who's really driving the team is. He's driving the defense. And he's the guy in the middle of training camp when it's 100 degrees. He is flying 100 yards across the field to chase the ball down. And that's just, it's just a great trait to have. You love coaching him. You love being around him. And he's been such a good leader.
Kevin Davidson, 314 yards, 3 more touchdown passes. He is 8th all-time in touchdown passes at Princeton. Not single season, but career He's made 7 starts, 6 this year, 1 last year. Some mop-up time before that. He's 8th in touchdown passes.
Yeah, he was prepared for this. He's developed. He's worked. And it's a credit to him. There's a lot of people, the strength coaches, the position coaches, all those things. But when you're behind NFL players, it's really easy to kind of just, I'll wait till it's my turn. And he prepared like he was going to play every week from the time he got here as a freshman. He's a gym rat, the way he studied film, and all the extra things he's done to get into this position. So you really, when you get somebody, like, you just root for people like that.
So, I mean, it would have been easy for him. First of all, he has the talent to have been a 3-year starter if it wasn't for Chad Kanoff and John Lovett. But when he's got to be looking at it in his mind of, all right, well, when I'm a junior, Lovett will be gone. I'll have 2 years to start, and all of a sudden Lovett is out for a year, comes back last year. Obviously, Lovett is Lovett. That's, how does he handle something like that?
You know, he's when you've spent more time with him probably than others, because he is more visible. He is the quarterback, and he's got a great way about him. He doesn't worry about all the outside distractions and things that get you to lose focus or, you know, get yourself away from what your goals are and what your mission is. And, you know, nobody's happy to be the backup or to sit. I don't think anybody sits around and goes back to their dorm room and says, yay, I'm number 2. No, they don't want to do that. But he's always prepared. So when this opportunity came, he was ready. And last year against Brown, he was absolutely 100% ready to deliver a great performance. And that's just led to everything he's done as a leader this offseason.
7 starts, 4 of them he's thrown for 300 yards, and 1 of them he threw for 299. So essentially he's been, you know, a 300-yard-plus guy, multiple touchdown passes. He's been tremendous. Talking a little bit more about the Harvard game, the real difference was the 3 interceptions. Tyler's set up a field goal, and then the ones by Bird and Winston set up touchdowns. Beard and Winston set up touchdowns, and Daniel Beard has been great all year as well. And his catch on that interception, just to tip it to himself and then not let it hit the ground, was a great play, and it was a turning point play. It came right after a 4th-and-1 stop. It was the 2nd straight time that a drive stalled on 4th down in Harvard territory to start the 3rd quarter. Your team was behind, and all of a sudden he makes the play that turns the whole game around. The next play is the 31-yard touchdown pass from Davidson to Edie. Beard is an interesting player in that he has been one of your best players, but if he's essentially playing the spot that you assumed John Orr would be playing, and his role would have been much different.
Yeah, so this started in the offseason. Daniel Beard is a freshman last year. Was tremendous. He was Jeremiah Tyler's backup. He was on all the special teams. And we had a guy, you called his name out a bunch for all the tackles he made, named Rohan Hilton. And Daniel reminded me of Rohan. So in the spring, we started to transition him so he could back up 2 places, but get on the field 40 to 50 snaps a game. And we tried to envision a role that he could take. And then when John Orr went down, Daniel just took over that position. And every week he's getting better. He's more confident. He's more in tune with the playbook. Early in the year, you know, there's some mistakes, and we had to live with them. We had to have some patience because of his lack of experience, and he's playing at a really high level.
So with that game, the key that you said was your team's grit, and I thought it was a great word to describe what happened. You know, so many of these games during this win streak have been, you know, starters out in the 4th quarter. Those are great games, except they also make you wonder, when you're not used to having to play hard at the end, how you're going to respond. And your team responded great. And second time this year that you've trailed at the half in an Ivy League game at home, Columbia and now Harvard, and yet just responded, did the things that you needed to do to win. And what I thought was interesting, after the game you talked about how nobody panicked, nobody pointed fingers at anybody, and everybody just kept playing through. And that's a great sign to pull out a win like that.
Yeah, when you have an experienced team, you kind of know how they're going to respond in those situations. This group's a little younger, and, you know, you pointed out it was Kevin's 7th start. There was a real great calm on the sideline, and the communication was great. The focus was great. And in the end of the day, when there's games that are going to come down to a few little details, that really helped us.
So now we look ahead to Cornell. The kickoff Friday night is in Ithaca, New York, Schoellkopf Field. November, a little chillier up there than you're used to, and a Cornell team coming off a 37-35 win over Brown. The kicker, Nicholas Null, who kicked the game-winning field goal in the final 10 seconds last week, is the same one who kicked the field goal here in the last minute 2 years ago to give Cornell a win. So clearly your team focused on the big red and on the task at hand, and they certainly have your attention. And, you know, they're a team that's kind of interesting. They're a team that's playing where a win over Princeton is going to make their season. They're at home, and they have they pose some problems. They have some pretty good players.
Yeah, no, their offense has gotten better every week. Their quarterback is playing at a very high level. He had his best game last week. They're running the ball. They've always, since Coach Archer's been there, they've run the ball effectively against just about everybody. Their offensive line is the most improved unit from last year to this year. They are playing tremendous football, both in the run game, pass protection, big group of receivers. A couple of their holes were filled. Freshman linebackers got 4.5 sacks. He's been rookie of the week, I believe, 4 of the 5 weeks.
Stebbins.
He's been incredible. Veteran DBs, strong up front. I mean, this is going to be – it's got a great chance to be another just physical, fun, you know, battle against them.
And lastly, before we let you go from this edition of the First in Football podcast, is it's November, or it's going to be November in a couple of days. November 6th will be the 150th anniversary of the first college football game. A lot of the things that are really going to kick into high gear now. On the anniversary of that Princeton-Rutgers game back in 1869, you have the game this Friday. Then you have the week of sort of the celebration of the 150th, and then it culminates with the game against Dartmouth at Yankee Stadium. How do you divide yourself between wanting to celebrate that and understanding that it's really 2019, you have to keep focused on, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, you don't change your routine. So the preparation's your preparation. Meetings, practice, all the things that go into the scheme and the game plan, that's not been something we discuss that way. But I also understand that, and we had one of my managers, Devin Barrett, who was amazing. She wrote her thesis on basically Princeton football and, talking about our group, our team, our culture. And she talked about code switch. And then as a student here, you got to be able to sit in a class. You got to be able to be, you know, in a dining hall, and you got to be on an athletic field. And so as the head coach, I got to be able to balance those things. I still recruit during the season. It doesn't take away from my preparation. You know, so you got to be able to balance that, because we have this great tradition, history, all those things, and we want to celebrate that in our alumni and the passion our community has for Princeton football.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today on the First in Football podcast. We'll be back a week from today. We'll talk about the Cornell game, the upcoming Dartmouth game at Yankee Stadium. We'll talk a lot about 150, I'm assuming, next week. In the meantime, have a good trip up to Ithaca and good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton head football coach Bob Serace, Jerry Price, thanks for joining us here on the First in Football podcast, and thanks for your continued support of Princeton Tiger football.